Next item on the agenda is the Virginia Institute of Marine Science.
Mr. Chairman, close this one. I had to get trained on that yesterday since I don't get up here that often. Just for the benefit of the new commission members, my name is Tony Watkins, and I serve as the Deputy Chief of the Habitat Management Division. Normally, you would have seen Hank Badger, who is our environmental engineer who covers the Eastern Shore, making this briefing. He's also our co-manager of our engineering, our leasing program for Oyster Grounds. He had previously scheduled vacation for this week, and when the commission meeting was changed, we didn't make him change his plans so that he could be with his family this week. So you get to hear me go over this plan that has been presented, or this proposal that has been presented. What I'm going to do is brief these two items that have been requested as one. One is a renewal of a previous set-aside for SAB restoration. The second request is additional area adjacent to the previous set-aside. I'll brief them as one, but I think at the end they probably need to be voted on as two separate items, and you had to have two motions for this particular these two particular projects. Back in 1998, VIMS came to us and suggested that they were having some good success with SAB restoration in this area, and they'd like to see some areas possibly set aside so that activities and leasing in the area would not disrupt that successful restoration effort. The restoration area that they had identified was behind Wreck Island, east of Mockhorn Island, in the area you see circled there. A little closer area showing where this is located, pretty much right behind the island. Here is an aerial view of Wreck Island. You can see the eastern shore mainland off in the background. This is kind of looking to the north. The set-aside area is generally in this vicinity here depicted by the red circle. In 98, an area was identified for set-aside. It's that yellow hatched area that you see there. The commission set that aside for 5 years. It's now been 5 years, and VIMS is asking that we continue with that set-aside. VIMS has had really good success with restoration in that area. Dr. Bob Orth is here today. He may want to follow up my presentation with some information on the success that they have seen in that area. The additional area that they wish to see set aside is depicted in the bowl in this area here and this area here. And if I highlight that with the crosshatched, the yellow crosshatched area is the proposed set aside. And that would be approximately 366 additional acres in addition to the 361 that was previously set aside by the last commission action. I think one thing to note here is that there are other leases in the area. There has been some aquaculture in the vicinity for clams in the past. Some of the areas in this vicinity also had been leased for clam dredging by the leaseholders. And this map shows the adjacent leases. We have one here, one down here. We also have public ground adjacent behind Wreck Island and additional public ground in this area here. And there are large areas that are unassigned in South Bay. We have notified the adjacent leaseholders by letter that this is being considered. We have received no comment or objection from the leaseholders. In addition, we have put a public notice in the paper that this was being considered by the commission, and to date we have received no objection to the continuation of the set-aside or the additional area of set-aside. As far as the leases go, most of the area had not been leased has been vacant for about 10 years. I think there was one lease in the area of 57 acres. However, that was not renewed this past April because they did not request a renewal at that time, so that area was vacated. So for the most part, the area has been unassigned and unleased for the past 10 years. And if you crosshatch and show the entire area that would be taken up by the set-aside, this map depicts that. Again, you can see it's adjacent to public ground 26, behind Wreck Island, and goes to the south and meets up with a lease here and over to the west, this lease here, and this little dogleg area here. Mostly, VIMS has identified an area that's the right depth for SAV restoration. The depths in this area generally have been type of depth that have supported SAV in the existing set-aside. One issue we did identify was the potential that some of this area exceeds 4 feet, approaches 5. There could potentially be possibly dredging for clams in the area, which is allowed in depths greater than 4 feet. But we did look back at and we thought maybe the regulation related to clam dredging might need to be amended to protect these areas if they are set aside. But we looked at the regulation a little more closely and realized that once an area is set aside by the commission, it's no longer considered unassigned bottom. And as a result, once it's set aside, it's not unassigned, and therefore the regulation would prevent dredging in the set-aside area, it appears. So I don't think any further amendment to that existing regulation would be necessary or warranted, as long as that interpretation is supported by other folks. So with all that said, staff is recommending, one, that we continue the set-aside of the previously designated area, and two, that the commission set aside the additional acreage that has been requested by them to support the SAV restoration activities in South Bay. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One brief question. The adjacent leaseholders were notified of this. In the event that the SAV were to migrate onto those adjacent leases, would that, by regulation, prescribe aquaculture activities on those leases?
If they were going to establish new on-bottom structures that are covered by the existing regulation, they could not put new structures in areas where SAV is or would establish itself. So, to answer it a different way, if SAV moved into one of those leased bottoms, they were not currently conducting aquaculture operations on that bottom. Once SAV moved in there, they couldn't put new structures on the bottom consistent with the regulation. It prevents new structures on SAV.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chairman, I would have a follow-up question for council. Is there any way that we might consider these leases to be a priority claim on that bottom? In other words, can we approve this but protect the rights of the adjacent leaseholders to conduct aquaculture operations even in the event that SAV were to migrate into their lease bottom?
You're saying, I'm not familiar with it, you're saying that there's a regulation that says if you have SAV on your assigned lease, you can't put new information, new structures.
That's correct.
For aquaculture purposes.
That's correct.
Whatever.
That's the regulation requirement.
I think you'd have to find the regulations. Unless there's some language in the regulation already that authorizes some exception. And I'm not familiar with that.
I don't think there is.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, the other thing is someone can make application to the commission to conduct an aquaculture operation that was possibly different than the regulation, and the commission could then weigh whether or not it would allow the activity to occur on the SAV. If it was a floating rack or a rack that extended further off the bottom than what the regulation addresses.
Well, if you have a regulation that includes a sanction for its violation, and the public is governed by it. It seems to me that the commission is also bound by that regulation until such time as it amends the regulation.
I won't argue with counsel, but the regulation was developed to allow for what we call on-bottom aquaculture activities. It's basically for the clam in industry to put the nets over the structures and to put the small cages out that might be needed for the seed, and it never comes up more than 1 foot off the bottom. That's another requirement. But it's possible we could get requests for other types of aquaculture in this area, which would be racks and cages and floats, which would not be covered by the regulation. And that's the kind of project I was thinking about that the commission would consider if there were SAV there.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Holland.
I agree with Mr. Robbins. I have a problem with if this starts migrating over into leased clam ground, and then they're not using it at that time, but then they go back to try to use it, and they can't use their leased clam ground.
That's what I'm going to do. Can we hear from Vims?
Sure.
Dr. Roy.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Good to have you here.
It's great to be here, and I was wondering if you would allow me just to do a little bit of background on some of this to give the two new members some idea of how we got from there to here, because I think it's really relevant to this entire discussion, not just from the aquaculture, but what has occurred in these areas in the past. I mean, it will take me maybe 5 minutes to just do this.
I think that would be appropriate.
Yeah, I would appreciate it, because it will also give you a history of, you know, the successes that we've had, which is really unprecedented in our restoration efforts for this community. So
let me give you a little heads up, too, for the rest of the folks that are here. Of course, most are staff. But anyway, lunch has been delayed till about 12:15. So, Bob, I know your presentation, the other one, is excellent and is very much deserving of the time. I don't know how much time you've got allocated for that.
I try to be brief, 5 minutes.
For your update on SAV as well?
Well, I'll try to be brief. It's pretty quick because I've tried to synthesize a lot of information into a few slides.
So I'm trying to do the best time management.
I mean, I'm going to watch my time because I know you're...
Go ahead and we'll go from there.
Okay. And I'm going to skip three slides just because some of this has already been said by Tony. Okay. So, again, we're renewing this. Just for your information, our goal in this seaside project is to reestablish the seagrasses that used to occur in all these coastal bays prior to 1933, and a lot of the ecosystem services that are there. And if you want to turn the lights off, we can run through this quickly. Just to let you know, seagrasses, the eelgrass that we're dealing with, was very abundant in the seaside coastal lagoons prior to 1933. After 1933, a storm and a pandemic decline resulted in almost no seagrass in any of these areas. Today, there are some, but these are from our restoration efforts. The Chincoteague area has recolonized naturally. The big issue back in the 30s were scallops, which were harvested and provided an industry that up until, as I said, 1933 was very productive. If you look at pounds harvested versus year, and again, because scallops rely on seagrass, seagrass goes, scallops go. As Tony said, we started doing test plots in these areas to see if it would survive. It did. We came to the VMRC with a request in 2001 for this 400-acre set-aside. In 2001, and just for Mr. Tanker, who's a horticulturist, we have used seeds for the restoration effort and applied seeds in densities of 100,000 or 200,000 seeds per acre in 24 acres in 2001. 2002, we reduced that because we had fewer seeds. These are the locations of those 48 plots over the years that we've been doing this. And here is an aerial view looking from 12,000 feet. Each one of these dark squares that you see is a plot of eelgrass taken on December 22, 2004. We have been quite successful in establishing the grass. It's persisted and growing. This is just an area that we broadcast. It's actually in 1999 in the shape of a B. In 2004, it has been spreading. If you see all these little dots around here, bottom line is these plants are doing well. They're spreading naturally. They're growing and have spread outside the plots. Now, the one thing that needs to be considered, I mentioned scallops. These areas actually, back in the recent past, were designated scallop areas and were removed from the scallop areas. These were removed because they weren't no longer there, and I think the dredging issue came up with clams. But you know, overall, these areas were considered protected areas for scallops. As Tony said, we are requesting the additional acreage because this little box shows transects that we ran that we have found natural spread well outside this plot and within the plot itself, and we're pretty pleased by it. These are not the only restoration sites we're working with. This is the Wreck Island area. We have done work here in Cobb Bay in public grounds, in Spider Crab in public grounds, and we also recently started work in Hog Island Bay where you approved the set aside. The bottom line is that we're looking at the potential reestablishment of a community that was lost almost 70 years ago, and the rates of recolonization are pretty impressive, with the idea that we are starting to think about when we would consider reintroduction of the bay scallops. There's a lot of waterfowl enhancement that's going on, and all the other what we call ecosystem changes that are going to occur that could really improve the overall entire area. Now, one of the things that I know is a question about our interaction with aquaculture. We do talk to the aquaculturists there about these particular projects. Tom Walker in particular, we're always willing to listen. Now, along the seaside, most of the aquaculture occurs in intertidal areas, and where our seagrass occurs, which are areas less than 4 feet, do not where there's no interaction. So we feel with regard to the current aquaculture for clams, there is no conflict at present. And that's it.
That was four minutes.
Okay.
The record, Bob.
I just went through it just for your background, and again, you know, I hate to be fast, but I know you've got a lot of questions. You know, for this particular effort, this is, we've been doing seagrass restoration for 20 years, and everything that we have done in the bay has been complicated by water quality. Over on the seaside, we have had unqualified success, and it's been great to have this as a story. I mean, we just worldwide don't see things like this.
Yes, of course. Mr. Holland, did that satisfy your concerns, or do we still have some encroachment concerns?
Bottom line is there's going to be a spread. They're going to occur because it's the way the plants spread. They have flower, they produce seed.
Right.
And those seeds are going to spread out, and they're going to end up in some of these areas that are existing leases, whether it's for aquaculture or clamming. Clam dredging is becoming less and less of an issue because there are so few of them, and that's an issue that Jim Weston's been working on recently. The aquaculture, we've told the aquaculture people, we want to work with them. You know, there's a lot of leases over there that are for clam dredging, a lot for aquaculture. You know, you can't help these plants. They're going to spread.
Okay.
And this is not an issue that just is unique to the bay.
I did two follow-up procedural questions. Tony, was this advertised last month, or you said a notice was sent out? I'm a little concerned, question to both you and council, if this is an item that would be required to be subject to public interest review, public hearing, before we take any type of action such as this. Was it advertised as a public hearing?
That you were going to conduct the hearing here at the commission, and it was for this. We re-advertised when the commission meeting changed to let the public know that it would be heard today.
As a public
right.
hearing.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. I just want to be clear on that. There's also some concern about the necessity to amend the regulation. You want to follow up on that, Counselor?
I mean, I'm speaking without any detailed knowledge because I don't know what the regulation says. I need to take a look at it. But to the extent that there is a conflict and it requires some sort of an amendment, I think you probably have the authority to adopt an amendment today as an emergency regulation and approve the request contingent on permanent approval of the amendment to the regulation. But, again, I'm speaking without knowing what the regulation says.
Okay. And as past history has provided us, we're not going to approve an emergency regulation until we've had time to sit down with the book, go over it, and then maybe at the end of the day, after all, I've had an opportunity to look it over before we do that. Back to the issue at hand, does anybody have any other questions for Tony or Bims at the present time?
I do, Ms.
Dr. McConaughey. For whom, sir?
For Dr. Orth. What's the rate of spread? I mean, it looks like you've been out there for 4 or 5 years, and most of the grasses are still in your plots. They're
Nothing.
Spreading out.
Okay. You know, what we did, and I was running through very quickly, this one, let's see, where was that? I think it's this one here. Okay. We ran transects that were 600 meters that were southeast, southwest of these plots and west. And each one of those little dots represents an observation of one square meter or 600 meters. The grass basically has spread over, since 2001, at least 600 meters from the plot. Obviously, within the plot, we've got lots of patches. And again, the long distance dispersal is something that we've quantified from other studies. It's likely there are patches of grass out here, but again, because we knew we could not make a request for the entire South Bay, and again, all this area is unassigned. Bottom line is, since 2001, which is when we put these big plots, in 5 years, at least 600 meters, you know, to the south of that, and there's been some very interesting dispersal in this direction that we don't see in here, which may be a result of occurrence. Okay. So yeah, they've spread rapidly, and we see that in the Chesapeake Bay too, by the way they disperse because of our plants. Mm. I don't know. Does that answer?
Yeah.
Any further questions from the commission? To satisfy the requirements of the public hearing, this matter is a public hearing. Is there anyone here who would like to speak pro or con to items 5 and 6, Virginia Institute of Marine Science, renewal and set aside? Pro or con? Public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope my comments won't be construed as indicating a lack of support for eelgrass restoration. I think the state probably can't do enough of this. I mean, it's great work. It does create critical habitat. It's very important. I am somewhat concerned about us effectively managing the interaction between possible spread of SAV and existing leases and the claims that leaseholders may have for aquaculture operations. I just think that's something that we need to manage effectively, and perhaps we can review the regulation in the near future just to make sure that it's satisfactory. But I would move to approve the renewal and expansion of the eelgrass restoration project.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Now, back to the regulation to make sure the housekeeping is done. Should we, Tony or Bob, move forward with a public hearing, or what? Well, how do you propose that we handle the regulation? Or is there any need to?
I really don't believe there's any need to. If one looks at the aquaculture on-bottom regulation and thinks of it more as a general permit for streamlining, it basically says if you have a lease and you want to put a structure within 12 inches of the bottom and it's not on SAV, you qualify for the regulation. If you want to go 18 inches, you've got SAV, it's like the Bevins and the Oyster and the Wart. You don't qualify for the regulation. You come to the commission, and the commission weighs that. That's with the existing leases, and we're talking about those two areas. As far as the engineering and surveying goes, if it were to expand into areas that are unassigned and aren't leased, yes, it would prohibit or preclude us. We would not, as a staff, issue a lease for SAV areas, a new lease. That too would have to, if someone said, well, I want to lease it, that would come to the commission. The commission would have to decide what to do. But the regulation doesn't preclude or prevent or infringe anyone's rights. They still have the ability, if they were adamant and wanted to come to the commission and have their concerns, and the commission could make a decision regarding that. I'd be a little reluctant to say, well, you could do it in areas of SAV, because basically that just opens it up to doing aquaculture anywhere, not just on the seaside of the Eastern Shore, but anywhere that you might have lease ground. So I don't think there's a need to amend the regulation, with the understanding that should that occur, it would certainly be brought to the commission for a decision.
This is what I'd like to propose to the commission, if it pleases the commission, is that we get a copy of the regulation so Mr. Josephson can review it during the day today, and I think I saw something come in. If council determines after looking over the regulation not to put you on the spot, but through the better part of the day, if there is a need to reconsider, you advise the chair that we have some issues, and we'll take them up again toward the end of the agenda.
I'll certainly take a look at the regulation, but I think I understand what Bob is saying, and I think, understanding that, I think the situation is clarified.
If that satisfies counsel, that satisfies me. So, Commissioner?
I'll give counsel a copy of the regulation. It's easy to come up with.
Thank you all so very much. Dr. Orr?
One last comment.
Yes, sir.
I think it's important for this board and all of us to recognize what the efforts that are going on within Chesapeake Bay to improve water quality, primarily for living resources, one of which is our seagrasses. And there are the 2010 to basically try to get seagrass back to some of the historical distributions. And so these conflicts will continue to arise, but we already know, you know, the services provided by seagrass are, in many cases, fairly significant, in particular for blue crab. So these are things that, again, as we continue this discussion about seagrass and aquaculture and these things, keep in mind the types of things that the state has been buying into with regard to, you know, improving the water quality of Chesapeake Bay.
I'm very much aware of Governor Kane's dedicated interest to the improvement of water quality during his administration. He's made that one of his hallmarks and fundamental tenets of that administration to improve the water quality. I think it was demonstrated by the significant amount of funds that he was active in pursuing for cleaning up the bay. So, point is well taken, and thank you so very much for your interest over the years in this project. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is public comments. Anyone from the public have any comments? Mr. Pollard, I'd also ask maybe after lunch if you could, after I depart, if you can ask if anybody has public comments, because we are a little ahead of the normal schedule for the public comments portion of it, so if we bring that up. The SAV update, we're going to break for lunch at 12:15. And the bottom line was, no, what I was going to do, Bob, quite honestly, is leave it up to you as to where you wanted to go, now or later.
I'm going
to
do it now.
You got it.
And I'm on a roll, and I'm going to do my best to keep this going. I'm going to start right with here, where we started off.
I will tell you this, that I have to leave here just for about 5 minutes at noon. I want you to know that I read your report. I know the work you do, and you send me brief updates from time to time. I don't want you to think the fact that I'm leaving at noon for 5 minutes has anything to do with the importance of this presentation.
I mean, I can put all of you on my little email list when I talk about seagrass if you want to hear about it.
I'm
going to turn the lights off just very quickly.
Thank you.
Several years ago, we identified propeller scarring as a big issue within the Chesapeake Bay now. And in the late 90s, we conducted a very intensive study in which we identified